I don't know if this has ever happened to you where you got like a super late night text, early morning text. I don't normally get them because I don't text after like 9 o'clock. And so I just leave my phone downstairs before I go to bed. And one morning I woke up and I looked and my phone had a whole bunch of text messages on it. And there was some super late night text, 12:31, 1:32, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, uh-oh, something happened. And so here's what one of the texts said. Well, listen closely. It says, "I'm sorry for lashing out. I should have taken more time to figure out what I was thinking and what was bothering me. That was unfair to you and unkind. I am sorry." Now, I thought, wow, that's a very nice apology. That is somebody that recognizes they did something stupid, and they've owned that they did something stupid. They don't want to be stupid anymore, and now they're apologizing. It's a really good repentance text. It's like, really good. Then I started thinking to myself, I don't remember them doing anything to me. I look and I read it, and then I look a little further down. I'm like, oh, oops, wrong person. Unless I lashed out at you too. So you know who he was. He's a friend of mine. You know who he was texting, of course. That has to be to his wife. I don't know for sure because I didn't pry. But you know it was his wife. And like an hour later, he's like, why hasn't she gotten back to me? But I thought, man, that was a really good I'm sorry text. Even though he was like in advance of something he was going to do maybe. Sometimes you just need to apologize. Sometimes you just got to own your part. And in our account today, we are nearing the end of the story of the 10 plagues. With one of the most authentically unrepentant men in history. How about that for a title? Most unrepentant man ever. Pharaoh. You see, we found out so far that he knew he was wrong. He knew he was in trouble. He knew the only way out was to repent and to change. Have you ever known that? That your only way out was to change? And still he refused. So let me bring you up to speed for those of you that are new or haven't been here for the last 25 sermons. As this is the 25th sermon in the series. Let me tell you this. God has chosen Moses to help rescue the Hebrews from over 400 years of slavery. So far, there's been 9 plagues and have come upon Pharaoh and upon the nation of Egypt. That brings us to the 10th. Chapter 11, verse 4. Moses had announced to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. At midnight tonight, I will pass through the heart of Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt. From the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the oldest son of his lowliest servant girl who grinds the flour, even the firstborn of all the livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has heard before or will ever hear again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. All the officials of Egypt will run to me and fall to the ground before me. Please leave, they will beg. Hurry, take all your followers with you. Only then will I go. Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh. Now the Lord had told Moses earlier, Pharaoh will not listen to you, but then I will do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed these miracles in Pharaoh's presence, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he wouldn't let the Israelites leave the country. Now we're going to skip to chapter 12, verse 29. And that night at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt. Later we find out that really means the angel of death or a destroyer. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon, even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Get out, he ordered. Leave my people and take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. This is a horrible chapter. So bad, all the stuff that happens here. So sad. If you are new to the series, a lot of this may not fully make sense today, but try to hold on. We have everything on podcast for you. If you want to go online, you can catch up. But in the last conversation that Moses and Pharaoh had, in chapter 10, verse 29, this part of the conversation was actually part of that one. It's in the darkness plague when they got really mad at each other. And this is the conversation that was stuck in there. And it's the warning to Pharaoh, at midnight tonight I will pass through the heart of Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt. Now, I want to help you see something today. Egypt was a nasty country that was doing horrible and evil things. They were holding these people in slavery for 430 years. This was part of the rescue mission. Much mercy had been shown to Egypt and to Pharaoh up to this point. Warning after warning after warning after warning. 9 warnings to be exact, and now the 10th. And you don't tell the enemy what you are going to do unless you want them to back off. You don't tell the enemy what you're going to do unless you want them to repent or to relent. In World War II, when U.S. bombers would go over Germany or whatever they were attacking, they would drop flyers before they would bomb to try to get as many civilians out of the area as possible. They're telling them what they were going to do so people could be saved. The reason that Pharaoh is being warned is so that they have a chance to avoid the carnage that will follow. It's God very clearly saying, I would prefer a different way. I don't want any of this to happen, but this is what's going to happen. And it's a chance for Pharaoh to repent. It's a chance for Pharaoh to go down a different path. It's a chance for Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. Remember, 430 years. Some would say that the exact date of this moment is the 430th anniversary date of their slavery. They have been held in captivity. These slaves right now, they are on the verge. They are on the verge of total and complete freedom. Their rescue is finally at hand. And it is going to be miraculous one way or another. Just think about it. There's 2 paths that could happen here. It could be miraculously forgiving, or it could be miraculous justice. And the final warning of Egypt occurs. And at this point, Moses is a little angry, probably a lot angry. He can't believe that this is what it's going to take. After all of this, this is what it's going to take. After months and months and months of obvious miraculous signs, Pharaoh still will not give up. And it's going to take this horrible thing to happen. And here's an interesting thing I want you to notice, that when God shows up and God does a miracle, it does not guarantee that people will do what they're supposed to do. Just because God does a miracle doesn't mean that people will repent. There's a lot of people out there like, oh, I wish just God would do a bunch of cool stuff and then everybody would get right with God. I wish it worked that way, but it doesn't really. It does for some. I have seen people with my own eyes. I have seen people be physically healed, and then they keep on living like heathens. Well, that's not helpful. And I've seen people be delivered from addiction spontaneously in a miraculous moment, and then continue to live like they had no relationship with God whatsoever. Here's why. Because God can only do what God can do. And He cannot do what only you can do. If there are things that only you can do, God will not do them for you. He will not, for example, He will not force you to love Him. He won't make you serve Him. Have you ever said to God, God, would you just make me whatever? Let's fill in the blanks. I've sat with people and prayed with people and literally heard people cry out to God with much passion and tears and sincerity and say, God, make me God isn't making you do anything. If you are waiting for God to make you be a better parent, if you are waiting for God to make you stop gossiping, if you are waiting for God to make you lose weight, you and those little Debbie snack cakes are going to be waiting a long time. Long time. You're like, I thought that God made, you know, I could ask God to do that. Not really. You can try. It's not going to work. Here's what God will do. God will, the Bible says, give you wisdom. God will give you strength. God will give you courage. God will give you insight. But you and I will have to do the right thing with it. God will not override your personal actions and decisions. He won't make you repent. He won't. This account is an example of that. God would not make Pharaoh repent. He wanted him to. He wanted there to be a way out. And Pharaoh wouldn't take it. This is obviously the most significant of all the plagues. It's the deadliest plague. And when you're reading through the text, and if you want, this is found in the book of Exodus, and if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. Just on your phone, download the Bible app. It's free. And go to Exodus and chapter 11, and you can read through it. But this is a tough one because the whole time in my heart, I'm cheering for Pharaoh to surrender. I'm hoping that all, even though I've read the story 1,000 times, I still want him to change his mind. I want him to turn the other way. I want him to get onto a different path, but he won't. And so in between the lines of Scripture, it's just blank. Because Pharaoh didn't say anything. Pharaoh didn't respond well. And what we're waiting for Pharaoh to do and say, he doesn't. And it's just quiet. It's crickets. His pride would not let him repent. His pride would not let him submit to God. And Pharaoh, in this moment, literally sacrifices all the firstborn sons of his nation. And he did it knowing that it was 100% going to happen. You see, there is no way that Pharaoh thought that God was bluffing. Pharaoh simply refused to do the right thing. Pharaoh and his nation paid the consequences of his own foolish pride. It was like he was rocking his AC/DC Highway to Hell shirt all the way down with his nation. He was going down for the count and he was taking his people with him. How would a leader do this? All we have to do is look to Hitler and Germany in World War II. It didn't just happen then, it's happened over and over again. Chapter 12, verse 29, it says, "And that night at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night. A loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died." Super serious, isn't it? Super hard. The reality is this, and we know this in life. When you side with the enemy, when you become part of the Antichrist, when you harm and oppress other people, don't forget this. The nation of Egypt had been wicked and evil and had been holding people in captivity for centuries. When you harm and oppress other people, when you steal freedom from other people, what you do is you dump hot coals on your own head. and you inevitably will suffer the consequences of your own actions. A couple weeks ago, we found out that Pharaoh had asked for the presence of God to be removed from him, from his nation. And the presence of God brings life. And where there is no life, death will rush in. And that is exactly what happens. Death rushes in and takes the firstborn son of every Egyptian family. And all of Egypt was guilty. Do not miss this. All of Egypt was guilty. And they all paid a price for 430 years of oppression because they were guilty of sin. All of them. This, of course, is the worst of the plagues. And it is authentically judgment from God upon the wicked. And even in the midst of this judgment, there was still mercy. First, there was a warning. That's merciful. Second, the entire nation could have rightfully been wiped off the planet. That's how wicked they were. And yet God had mercy. Next week, we're going to see how God prevented the angel of death or the destroyer from entering into the homes of the Israelites. And it's one of the signature moments in the Bible. But after this night of great loss, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. And he said, "Get out. Leave my people. Take the rest of the Israelites with you. Go worship the Lord as you have requested." This is actually a good turning point moment, just in the context of something that was really hard and really difficult. All of a sudden, they realize they're going to be able to go now. 430 years of slavery, and they finally get to leave. You imagine the word spreading around. People are texting and Facebook and direct messaging on Instagram, Instagram stories. It's just going boom, 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 just all over the place. It's out there. And you can start to hear the shouts of slaves as they scream and cheer. They're so excited. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. That's where it originally would have been said. These slaves, remember, these are the slaves who, when their babies were born, had watched the Egyptians kill their babies. These are the slaves that have been whipped and beaten and tortured and raped for centuries. They have been now, they have then finally cried out to God, and God came to rescue them. Why did God rescue them? Months ago, we learned God came to rescue them because after 400 years of slavery, they finally asked God to rescue them. They hadn't asked. They finally asked. Also, it's important to know that God rescued them because God ultimately takes care of his children. In a passage that we did not read earlier, chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will strike Pharaoh in the land of Egypt with one more blow. And after that, Pharaoh will let you leave his country. In fact, he will be so eager to get rid of you that he will force you to leave.'" Verse 2, very important. "Tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold." What? The Israelites are going to ask the Egyptians, who have been their masters for centuries, to give them all of their wealth, all of their silver, all their gold. "Now the Lord had caused Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt, respected by Pharaoh's officials and Egyptian people alike." Here's what's going on. This is part of the justice of God. God is going to ensure that the slaves are paid for their 430 years of hard labor. They're going to get one big paycheck. For several plagues, it has been clear that Israel has been protected by God and taken care of by God. The plagues did not impact them, just Egypt. And I want you to get this today. Still today, God takes care of his people. He gives his people favor, even in the eyes of their enemies.
In Proverbs 16, it says, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. The children of God that walk on the path of God can expect to experience the favor of God. I'll say it again. The children of God that walk on the path of God can expect to experience the favor of God. Now, if you're a child of God, but you're not walking on the path of God, you will not experience the favor of God. That's not how it works. But if you're on the path of God, you will experience, there's three things. I just prayed over all of the children, and it's a prayer I have prayed for the last 18 years over all of the children that we dedicate. Prayed for the peace of God, the protection of God, and the provision of God. Peace, protection, and provision. We see that in this account right here. This is where it comes from. In verse 7, we see we can experience the peace of God. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful. Tell your neighbor, peaceful. Peaceful. That not even a dog will bark. My dog will bark at anything. So annoying. We got turkeys walking in our neighborhood. It's barking at the turkeys. It barks at the bees in the air, flies. It just barks at anything. But here, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. I want you to understand this, that in your life, when you're on the path of God, you can watch as God brings peace into your life. As God brings peace into your mind, into your spirit. This, I believe, is one of the most significant acts of God in our life. I watch as humanity, as people, we wrestle with our thinking and our tensions and anxiety and fears and frustrations, all of these things. And we find ourselves living non-peaceful lives. But when we place ourselves on the path of God, God brings us peace. This is what Jesus does. Jesus brings peace into your situation. Jesus brings peace. It's the peace of God. It's not natural peace. It's not like a treaty or something. This is the peace of God. The second thing is the protection of God. In the account, we find out that the destroyer or the angel of death was not permitted to go to the Israelites. That is because God set it up for them to be protected. They had not rejected him. They were on his path. They were calling out to him for rescue, and he protected them. And next, we see the provision of God. We just read in verse 2, to all the Israelite men and women to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. That's a pretty good deal. That in your lowest moment, God shows up with peace, protection, and now he's going to take care of you financially. That's what this means. Now, there's a lot of crazy people out there saying a lot of stuff about money and the Bible. And I don't want you to get distracted by some of that chaos that's out there. But I never want you to miss the fact that God does let us know he will take care of us. He will provide for us when we walk on his path. That means finances. That means your situation. He will take care of you. It's critically important that we understand that. Why? Because when you are on the path of God as a child of God, you can expect the favor of God. And when you are looking for the favor of God, you will see, oh, God's showing up over here in this area of my life. And so I need to make sure to grab hold of that. Don't miss the provision of God in your life. I've seen a lot of people miss the provision of God just because they're, I don't know what they're doing. They're on Instagram too much or something. But the provision of God is right there. And you have to go ahead and get it and take it for yourself. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We've also learned that God, in this account, we've learned that God warns his enemies. Almost all of the 10 plagues carried warnings. Warnings give the opportunity to change course and turn from your path of destruction. Warnings give you the opportunity to turn from your highway to hell and instead take that stairway to heaven. Haggai, there's this great warning. It says, why are you living in luxurious homes while my house lies in ruins? The worship team, come on up. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. Tell your neighbor, look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. Look at what's happening to you. What does that mean? It means take a look at your life. It means examine what's happening. Is it marked? Is your life marked by the peace, the protection, and the provision of God? If you're like, I don't think so, then consider your ways. Look at what's happening to you. It's a warning sign. Let me ask, are you caught up in the things of this world? Have you been snagged up, chasing after meaningless things? Has pleasure consumed your thinking? And are you now paying the price for that? Even Quiet Riot, the metal band, said, time stands still when you're having fun, but you pay the price when the day is done. You might be able to fool me. You might be able to fool your family. You might be able to fool nearly everybody. But you will never be able to fool God. Never. And that is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That is a gift that God gives us. Why? Because God simply wants the very best for you. And maybe today it's time to do what Pharaoh never did. Would you stand with me as we close? Maybe today it's time to do what Pharaoh never did. Pharaoh had so many chances. Time after time after time. One chance after another. One rejection after another. One thing after another. And still, he would not surrender. He would not repent. Would you just take a moment and close your eyes today? Just bow your heads. Wherever you're at in this room, I want you to just pause. And I want you to think. You're not looking around. It's just you're focusing. It's you and God. I want you to ask yourself an honest question. And ask yourself, what path am I on? What path am I on today? Just begin to ask yourself and be honest. Are you on God's path? Do you even know what that path is? Or are you on some type of path of destruction? You're slowly self-destructing. All types of tiny little self-harms, some big self-harms. Intentionally choosing a path that's going in a direction other than what you clearly know God's asking you to do. Whatever path you're on, if it's not the path of God for your life, I want you to hear this message today as a simple warning from God. God warning you that that path will lead to destruction, that He doesn't want it for you. He wants another path for you. Maybe today your response to God is simple. It's simply, God, I hear your warning today. I hear your warning. And I respond. I relent. I choose your path instead. Maybe today you get to do something that Pharaoh never did. The worship team will lead us in this song as they play. Let's just spend some time to respond to God. We're going to open up the altars. If you'd like to spend some time up here talking to God about this today, you can make your way forward.